Penny Lane, there is a barber showing photographs of every head he's had the pleasure to know, and all the people that come and go stop and say hello. On the corner is a banker with a motor car, the little children laughing at him. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. I'll be here until 11. This first hour is an open line. Then we'll have a conversation with a Lincoln historian, Guy Fraker. Guy will be talking about the Abraham Lincoln portrait ceremony this afternoon at the Champaign County Courthouse, plus his book, A Guide to Lincoln's Eighth Judicial Circuit. As I mentioned earlier this morning, if you want to know something about Abraham Lincoln, or if you have a question or a comment about that, this is the guy. He knows everything. We have a lot of news this morning on the open line here locally. The Champaign County Racial Justice Task Force, not done yet. They've been working for a couple of years. They have made some recommendations. We can look at some of those this morning, or maybe you have seen that list that's been published in the News Gazette, and you can take a look at it, see if you have any questions or comments. In the Marks Miller case, remember that one? The $9.85 million verdict against the MTD has been upheld by the 4th District Appellate Court. Reservations are now being taken for the annual free Christmas dinner at the First Christian Church. I've had the great pleasure of taking a part in that event. It's a very small part, just kind of the MC making some announcements and things like that. A lot of other people working very, very hard, and I'll talk about that in some detail this morning and give you an idea of, if you haven't been there, what it's all about. And it is free, and it is open to anyone that wants to come. You don't have to be a homeless person or some person that we just are looking for people that would otherwise maybe be alone on Christmas Day or not have the wherewithal to buy some good food for a dinner. We'll serve you a terrific dinner. It's a lot of fun and a lot of people there, several hundred people at the First Christian Church. More about that later. And a look at the FBI account of the Clinton Lynch tarmac meeting. Information released by the watchdog group Judicial Watch. And comedian Jimmy Kimmel takes on Roy Moore and accepts the invitation to come to Alabama to fight it out, so to speak. We'll take a look at some more of the headlines in a moment, but Steve has been waiting, so we'll take him first. Hi, Steve.
How are you doing this morning?
I am doing great. How about you? Okay, what about it? Yeah. Yes. Yes, it is, and it looks like the Justice Department is considering now bringing federal charges against Garcia Zarate. Is that what you say his last name? Zarate? I know. I agree with you completely, and I heard a lot of other people that had the same reaction. Nobody can understand the way this has turned out so far, but I guess the hope is that the Justice Department will indeed take this up again, and maybe we'll see a different outcome the next time. Well, thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. Justice Department is considering bringing federal charges against Jose Inez Garcia Zarate after his not guilty verdict in the Kate Steinle murder trial. The department officials at the Justice Department told Fox News that today that was a consideration. A California jury acquitted Zarate, I'm not sure how to say that name, of the more serious charges in the case, including murder, involuntary manslaughter, and assault with a deadly weapon, only convicting him of being a felon in possession of a firearm. U.S. immigration officials had said they would deport Garcia Zarate, also known as Juan Francisco Lopez Sanchez, who already had been deported 5 times and was wanted for a 6th deportation when Steinle was fatally shot in the back while walking with her father. The undocumented felon could spend 3 years in prison for the firearm charge, but has already been behind bars for over 2 years as the case has made its way through the court. The consideration of federal charges comes as President Trump calls the verdict disgraceful and uses a case to rally support for a border wall. He tweeted on, I guess this was earlier today, Kate says, Steinle killer came back and back over the weakly protected Obama border, always committing crimes and being violent. And yet this info was not used in court. His exoneration is a complete travesty of justice. Build the wall. Attorney General Jeff Sessions also lamented the verdict in a written statement. He said, when jurisdictions choose to return criminal aliens to the streets, rather than turning them over to federal immigration authorities, they put the public safety at risk. San Francisco's decision to protect criminal aliens led to the preventable and heartbreaking death of Kate Steinle. And while the state of California sought a murder charge for the man who caused the death, a man who would not have been on the streets of San Francisco if the city simply honored an ICE detainer, the public ultimately convicted him of a felon in possession of a firearm. Without making mention of any additional charges, he said the Department of Justice, quote, will consider that all jurisdictions place the safety and security of their communities above the convenience of criminal aliens. Fatal shooting of the 32-year-old Steinle on a San Francisco pier in 2015 touched off a fierce national immigration debate and was used by then-candidate Trump to push for a wall on the Mexican border. So that's a story that was being talked about by our first caller this morning. Don't know if you've been following that or not, but sounds pretty awful, the verdict that was reached. It is 9:15. We're at the 356-9397. The Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351 5357. If you have something on your mind, just let me know. We'll take our first break right here, coming right back. Phone lines open.
I needed a new stove. I started looking at that big lumberyard store. They had a nice GE range, but I wanted to shop around, so I went to Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. They had the same stainless stove, but better. Theirs had true convection, and the other stores didn't. Also, Dick Van Dyke came with a 10-year protection plan, and the other store only had 5. And the lumberyard said I had to buy a new power cord with it. Altogether, I got a better range with better service for less money at Dick Van Dyke. Wow!
I'm Dennis Reakin, president of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. This is a true story that happened here in Champaign-Urbana within the past month. I guarantee we will beat any competitor's deal. All we do is appliances, and we do them better than anyone else. Wow!
Sure, we've been called a mom-and-pop store. We take it as a compliment. After all, we are family-owned and operated with 2 generations actively involved, and 5 of our team members have been with us for around 20 years each, or longer. We run our business with old-fashioned customer service as our foundation, and we wouldn't have it any other way. Add our great selection of hand-picked mattresses, all proudly made in the USA, at guaranteed lowest prices, and we're sure you won't find a better deal anywhere. Visit us and experience the Illini Mattress Difference today.
On Thursday, December 7th at the Krannert Center, bring the family for an evening of joyous holiday music. Join the Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra and Maestro Stephen Altop for Music of the Season, featuring the East Central Illinois Youth Orchestra, the Central Illinois Children's Chorus, and a visit from Santa. The Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra Holiday Concert. For tickets, call Krannert Center or visit cusymphony.org.
The place for Illinois basketball fans after every game is the Fasteners Etc. post-game show. Hi, I'm Scott Beatty. Join the conversation with me, Tim Dittman, and Michael Kaiser after every game right here on News Talk 1400. We always welcome your calls on the PNC Bank fan line. Or send us a text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line. Plus, we keep you up to date with the Body and Soul scoreboard. It's the Fasteners Etc. post-game show after every Illini basketball game right here on News Talk 1400 and WDWS.com.
It's Fighting Illini basketball tonight from Allstate Arena as the Big Ten season opens. That's right, it's Illinois and Northwestern. Coming up tonight at 8, Illini game day at 6:30 here on DWF.
And volleyball as well, beginning at 7 in the Illinois-Northwestern basketball game from Northwestern will be at 8 o'clock. So quite a busy Friday evening, kind of unusual too. They've moved the Big Ten basketball tournament around in order to get it into Madison Square Garden, and thus we're playing a couple of conference games early here, and then go back and play some more non-conference games as in order to accommodate the Big Ten. Everybody's is doing it. Couple of other of the headlines, Nancy Pelosi and Al Franken try to put the brakes on. Pelosi warns women who accuse powerful men of sexual misconduct to watch out who you're messing with. That's what she said. Matt Lauer's lawyers are trying to get him $30 million, kind of an exit payout. That's how much money NBC still owes him on his current contract. This is one that will be fought out in court. The question becomes, did he do something that was immoral, or something was spelled out in the contract that if you do this, you don't get any money at all. You do not get the money in the rest of your contract. But did he do that? That's what they'll be fighting about. Greg is next. Hello, Greg. What's going on, Greg? Yeah, more than that, wasn't it? Five or six, I think. And each time when he came back, he did something bad again. Yes, sir. Occasionally, I have not seen it recently. Why? I've never heard that story. Why don't you call the second hour if you can and tell Guy about that? Maybe he knows something about it. Me too. The Illinois basketball game is on television. Yes. Yes, it is. Well, I think so, yes. A columnist. She writes a column. Well, I don't know that... That entered into the conversation about the two of us one way or the other, but it did for you. But okay, well, all righty. Well, thank you very much, Greg. Always a pleasure to talk to you. We got about 22 days to go now. So hang in there. Zoe is next. Hi, Zoe. Well, I am very good. How are you?
I wasn't going to say anything about the Kate Steinle matter because everybody said it. But I would like to say that I would like to see some of these officials, government officials who are protecting, and I'm not going to say undocumented, I'm going to say illegal aliens. I'd like to see them have some serious consequences, like maybe a little bit of jail time and fines and more than a little. I mean, I would like to see, because they're breaking
the federal
law.
You're talking about the jury and the judges
those
people?
No. I'm talking about...
Who are you talking about?
Some of the officials that are protecting people who are here illegally. You know, like the sanctuary city people. And I do believe that politics definitely entered into the instructions they gave that jury, the judge gave that jury. And I just think it's the whole political atmosphere that has impeded enforcement of our laws, federal laws, and it's just wrong. And the people that are doing that are not, they don't have any consequences. They just kind of, oh, no, I'm not talking about the jury at all. I'm not, they were just doing what they were told to do. And I don't know if they, you know, I may not agree.
Yep, there's some controversy about what instructions they were given.
Definitely, yes. Yes, there is, because they were told to only consider whether he meant to shoot her.
Yes.
Or kill her. I'm not exactly sure of the wording, but...
That's one of those, I shot somebody and killed him. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
Hey, good to talk to you, Zoe. Thank you. Glad you called. We're at 356-9397. It is 925. You know, from trimming the tree to shopping for that perfect gift, the holidays are busy times. In all the running around, Busey reminds consumers to be conscientious of spending this holiday season. It can get away from you. According to the National Retail Federation, the average spend per person is $967. Total spend on gifts for the family, about $480. 38% of holiday shoppers will donate money to a charity, and 37% plan to donate items, including meals, for needy families. Busey shares 7 holiday spending tips to keep your wallet as fat and happy as the jolly old man himself. Number 1, make a list. Check it twice. Know in advance how many gifts to purchase. 2, be a bargain hunter. Coupons to free shipping and deal hunting websites. 3, stick to your list. If you forget someone, add them to your budget and adjust the amount you spend on others. 4, factor in other expenses like postage for cards and presents and greeting cards and wrapping paper and decor and food and travel and charitable giving, things like that. 5, review receipts from last year to anticipate costs this year. 6, save receipts this year for a reality check. And 7, be cautious with a credit and review your statements carefully. Busey is committed to helping customers handle their hard-earned money responsibly while enjoying the holidays. So challenge yourself to be both meaningful and impactful with gifts. Remember, your time may be the most meaningful present that they receive. For more holiday spending tips, visit the publications page in the Resource Center at Busey.com. And we go back to the phones for Chuck. Hello, Chuck.
Good morning, Jim. Nice to speak with you this morning. People in Champaign-Urbana shouldn't be surprised by that verdict out in California.
Why is that?
Well, we have what should have been a convicted killer in our community right now, named James Kilmore. He was in a bank robbery, participated in a bank robbery where a lady was killed. He ran.
That was, when was that? That was how many years
well,
ago?
That was that was back in the 60s or whenever the Symbionese Army or whatever they were called. They robbed that bank and killed a lady in there, caused another lady to have a miscarriage or something of a baby. When he get 7 years, when he finally quit running and they caught him, that's a travesty of justice right there.
I don't disagree with that.
If you want to kill somebody, I guess you want to do it in California, don't you?
Well, lots of strange things happen in California, that's for sure. We all know that. Hey, I appreciate your call.
Maybe this will cause such an outrage in California that maybe people across the country will come to their senses and take care of some of these things the way it should be done.
Let's hope so, but don't hold your breath. Michael Flynn is in court. He's expected to plead guilty to lying to the FBI. So we'll have more on that as we go along today. But that is quite something. When someone like that decides that I will plead guilty, and what goes along with that usually is I will begin singing. Right after that, maybe that's part of the deal. Plead guilty, give us a few tips, what really happened, name some other names. That's the way it goes. And that's probably what's going to happen with Michael Flynn. That's breaking news, as they say, this morning. That he's expected to plead guilty to lying to the FBI. Lying to the FBI is not a smart thing to do. All right, Mr. Bond, let's take a quick break here before the news coming up at 9:30. Back on Penny View Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. Phone lines open at 356-9397. The Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. And Bobby has been waiting a long time. Where you been, Bobby? You haven't called for a month or more.
Oh, my goodness. I've been, oh, I've called since then, Jim, at least one time. But yeah, I be busy, man. I be running errands for my nieces and nephews and grandkids. They got me running all over town, Jim.
Okay, but you're still got the politics you've been talking about, though, I bet, huh?
Oh man, I remember when President Trump. I remember when he got his inauguration. I called in and I told you, how come these people cannot see that this man is mentally unstable? But they voted for him anyway, and now it's all over the news that this man is not mentally capable of being stable to run this country. It's unfit. And, Jim, I truly believe that they're going to have to get the 25th Amendment on him and knock him on out of office because he is definitely unstable. And on top of that, Jim, he's not only unstable, but he's a bigot. He's a racist. He do not approve of black and brown people. That is really sad. I think they need to go out. I think the Republicans is making a big mistake trying to get their tax cut, trying to get this big, disastrous tax cut before they do anything about Donald Trump. And the tax cut, they done that twice before, Jim. They done it during the Ronald Reagan year. They done it to George Bush years. And all they did was just run us in debt, a big deficit. And they destroyed the country. Now they're trying to do it again, but they're having a problem getting it through this time.
Okay, Bobby.
What do you think about it?
Well, thanks a lot. Appreciate your call. Donald Trump, President Trump, has a couple of tweets this morning. He says the jury was not told that the killer of Kate was a 7-time felon. The Schumer, Pelosi Democrats are so weak on crime that they will pay a big price in the 2018 and 2020 elections. Then he also says Republican senators are working hard to pass the biggest tax cuts in the history of our country. The bill is getting better and better. This is a once-in-a-generation chance. Obstructionist Democrats trying to block because they think it is too good and they will not be given the credit. And Dale says, I read this morning that he fired the gun and the bullet ricocheted and then hit the girl. I think that's why they don't think it was intentional. Back to the murder we were talking about just a little bit ago. Let's go to Joy. Hello, Joy.
Hello. Good morning. I hope you're having a great day.
It's a very, very, very nice day. How about you?
I'm 77, and every day is a blessing.
Okay, what's on your mind today?
I'm calling to thank you very much for all the years that you have worked. You are, to me, Penny for Your Thoughts, and I will so miss your voice and your advice and your talking back to the other end, whoever's on. You will be sorely missed by me. And there's been times when I was in the hospital for 3 months, and every morning I listened to you. And I want to thank you.
Well, I thank you for those kind words. You're feeling okay now?
Oh, yes. You know, at 77, every day you get up, it's a blessing. God doesn't want me yet, so he's left me here. And
yeah, it's a good idea to get up in the morning and look around and say, well, thank you, God, for one more day, right?
That's right, and I do I can't do much, but I have a van, so my job is if you need me, you call, and I'll give you a ride, and that just, I wake up, and there's nothing on my agenda, and then all of a sudden, I have a few things I need to get done. So, but Jim, thank you so very, very much.
Thank you, Joy. I appreciate your call. Let's go to Stan. Hello, Stan.
Good morning, Jim. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I usually have that static thing there. But anyway, I've got three things I'd like to mention to you. The first thing is that myself and many, many other people have called and congratulated you and thanked you for the years you've spent with Penny on the station. It's a conservative program, that's true, but that's what conservative media is. And you have done an excellent job of trying to mediate differences of opinion between other people. And I, like I said, have called and thanked you. But I have not heard yet anybody call and thank the most important person for your being able to do that job. And that is that wonderful, beautiful woman that's put up with you for all of these years of doing this program. And I would like to give a tip of my hat to her and thank her for tolerating your dedication to the program and the community.
Are you talking about my wife?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. I wanted to make sure. We had a wonderful woman that hired me many years ago here, and I have been trying to think of ways that I could. She is no longer with us, of course. I'm talking about Mrs. Kennego, but she hired me, gave me the opportunity, and this radio station's been on the air for 80 years, and I've been here 40 of them, so I guess confidence she showed in me at the beginning worked out okay. But anyway, Stan, that's thank you so much. You don't need to call this program a conservative radio program. I hope it doesn't come off that way because I don't intend for it to. But what you said, you had three things. What are the other things?
The second thing is, I heard part of your topics for the program today.
Yes.
And the topic that everybody wants to talk about is a very minor topic, in my opinion. It's unfortunate that one woman died in California because of a criminal act. But that is that happens in our country from time to time. People who shouldn't die do. But I was wondering if one of the topics that you had brought up today was the FBI's recognition today that Jared Kushner could never pass a top secret security clearance. Did you bring that up as a topic for the program?
Not yet, no.
Okay. Today the FBI has recognized that Jared Kushner could never pass a top secret security clearance for our country because he has lied three times on his security clearance application. All three of those are felonies with prosecutions of up to 5 years in jail each. And we also have another situation with Mr. Kushner that would preclude him from being able to have a top security clearance, and that is his multiple ties with foreign governments and foreign businesses in the hundreds. That would also preclude him from ever having a top secret security clearance for a normal person. But since he is the son-in-law of the President of the United States, who has been doing everything he can to destroy this country, He has been given a temporary security clearance by the president, which would go against any level of normal legal proceedings.
All right, Stan, thank you. We move on to Don. Hello, Don.
Hey, Jim. How you doing?
Good.
I don't get the fault. I don't know if I'd call it a theory. I guess it happened. That we're supposed to accept that this bullet ricocheted and hit this girl, which I guess they can prove, whatever, you know, so therefore he didn't murder her. But we cannot say that if he wasn't here illegally, it would have never happened. What kind of mind frame, you know, that's the part I don't get. And for these other guys call it, say, Trump's ruining the country. Man, people are imploding. I always said, if you think they hate him now, wait till his policies start working. You know, it's crazy. The country's getting better, folks.
I wonder what they think about the stock market and the fact that a lot of people are feeling so good about the country that they're investing a lot of money and things are moving.
Oh, it's Kirchner's fault. And he's not even the president. You know, it's ridiculous. They haven't stopped their witch hunt since the primary, and they're not gonna. I mean, it's even on the highest level of the office. You know, like Schumer and Pelosi, they won't go to no meeting with anything that's going to be successful. That even if anything even smells of success, they implode. It's ridiculous. But you know, the proof's in the pudding, and American people aren't that dumb anymore. Their gig was up when Obama was in there. You know, I really have a feeling this guy in Alabama is going to win, and that's really just going to. I mean, their party's over; it's been over. We're just listening to Bobby and, you know, Stan Sour Grapes. You know what I mean? It's all good.
Okay, all right. We're at 356-9397. Our Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. I wanted to tell you a little bit about this Christmas dinner. I'll go over this very quickly. We'll have several opportunities to tell you this. But for the past few years, I've had the great pleasure of helping with a dinner at the First Christian Church on Christmas. This is a dinner that is open to anyone who would otherwise be alone for the holidays or without a meal. You don't have to feel like, well, this is for, you know, maybe homeless people or they, of course, are welcome, but so are you. If you think, well, I don't have anybody here to cook for or I don't have anybody coming to town and maybe there's just a couple of us, or do you want us to come to this dinner? Yes, we do. It's a sit-down dinner. It's, you know, the church. It's on Staley Road. Great, big, attractive church. Appetizers starting at 12:30, followed by a sit-down dinner. And children under age 12 will receive a small gift, and limited transportation to the dinner will be available from five different pickup spots: Sunnycrest Manor, Steer Place, the Illinois Terminal, the Round Barn Manor, and Restoration Urban Ministries. Anyone making a reservation is asked to provide their names, the daytime phone numbers, and the number of guests attending, along with whether they will need transportation to and from the location. So here's the number to call, 217-991-0250, 991-0250, or you can go online at christmasdinner@fcc-online.org. Christmas dinner at FCC, that being the church, www.cfp-online.org. 9:53, back to the phone calls after this break. It is 9:56. We go to the phones for Jim. Hello, Jim.
Yes. Jim, I got a couple questions here. I suppose your caller Stan there, I think he's been got his information from CNN or MSNBC or something like that on Jared Kushner, but that's beside the point. Jim, what I called for, you're leaving here in December, right?
December 22nd would be my last show.
Okay. Yeah. I haven't heard your programs. I always listen when I can. Is Penny for Your Thoughts going to be continued?
Oh, yes. I would think so. It's been on the air for a real long time.
Yeah, well, that's great. I hope so, because that's the only sanity that we can receive back after listening to the morning show with Elizabeth Hess. So so I hope it keeps going. So, well, good luck in your endeavors, Jim, and we'll miss you. So
well, thank
that's
you.
All I got. I just wanted to find out if it was going to continue.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah, it will continue. Brian Barnhart will be the host.
Oh, okay, yeah. He's filled in for you several times.
Yep. Oh. Thank you. Appreciate it. And Irene is next. Hello, Irene.
Good morning. Beautiful day.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I think I've listened to you probably 40 years off and on, you know, when I could. You've done a good job. And a few times we've had a little problem, but not that much. And I'm looking forward to Brian because he has a good radio voice like you do. And I enjoy your hosting our church's Christmas dinner on Christmas Day.
Yeah, that's always a great time. It's fun to see all the people that come and meet with them. Great way to spend Christmas.
It is. Have you thought about advertising?
What about advertising?
You. Like Judy Frazier?
Oh, no. I have not.
Well, you're still a good-looking man. You could do it.
Okay, well, appreciate the compliment. Talk to you later, Irene. Thank you. Let's see. We have another text in here. Lying to the FBI wasn't smart because Flynn was doing work that he would soon be doing anyway. An incoming administration talking to other countries seems perfectly natural to me. Reminds me of the Fitzgerald Council. He knew who gave out the info concerning plane, but investigated anyway. Got Libby on the same charge. I'm going to call Bobby, Morning Bobby, because he just is mimicking Morning Joe here on DWS in Champaign-Urbana. Welcome back to hour number two of A Penny for Your Thoughts. My guest during this segment of the program is I'm pleased to say, a longtime friend of mine, and a guy that's been on our radio program before. Guy Fraker is a retired attorney, the author of Lincoln's Ladder to the Presidency, the Eighth Judicial Circuit. He was a consultant for the WILL-TV documentary Lincoln, Prelude to the Presidency, and has co-curated, is that the right way to say
that
guy?
Good word, yeah.
Prologue to the Presidency, Abraham Lincoln on the Illinois 8th Judicial Circuit. We're going to talk about that this morning. An exhibit on display at the David Davis Mansion in Bloomington, Illinois. We have his new book here, and he's going to be a busy man here in our area over the weekend. Because today, Guy, we have... talk about this a little bit. Over at the courthouse is going to be a portrait of Abraham Lincoln. We'll be talking about that today a little bit. And first of all, good to see you and glad to have you here.
It's very nice to be here. I consider it a privilege to be on this show, and so thanks for having me.
So today, what's going to happen over at the courthouse?
That's a nice event. Steve Beckett had a lot to do with that, and Barbara Wysocki on the county board. There's a portrait of Lincoln done by Alex Hessler in June 3rd, 1960, that's being put up in every courthouse in the state of Illinois as part of the bicentennial. And the agency behind this is, no, I shouldn't say agency, the organization is the Illinois State Historical Society, led by Bill Furry. And it was Bill's idea to put this Hessler photo, which is sort of the iconic beardless Lincoln picture, in every courthouse. And little by little, they're getting out there as a one celebration, one area of celebration of the bicentennial of our state.
Is this the same photograph that you have on the cover of your book?
No, this is a different one. The book cover is, that's out of a Decatur picture, a very strange picture, I think. It's a picture taken in Decatur that was held under wraps by the family for many years till the 1940s.
Why was that?
I don't know. I really don't know. It was taken by a guy named Barnwell in Decatur, obviously during the 1850s before Lincoln grew his beard, and his family just buried the thing and wouldn't let it out. And it ended up in the Decatur Public Library, and they were committed to be the same way. So it took me a long time and a lot of arm twisting to get that out there. And finally they relented and have generously allowed it to be used in both my books. And so I thought it would be a good one for the cover because it's not a familiar picture.
If you have any questions for Guy Fraker, it doesn't need to be about this part of the Abraham Lincoln story necessarily. You can ask him anything at all about Lincoln if you would care to do so. In fact, we had a call this morning from a gentleman who said he had learned some new things, and I said, well, call in the second hour and we'll talk to Guy about that. The book, A Guide to Lincoln's Eighth Judicial Circuit, is just really a lot of fun to look at. Basically, am I right in saying that most of Lincoln's work was in this circuit?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, we can be very proud of that. I think there's this attitude that Central Illinois is sort of flyover country, and in fact, we were instrumental in shaping our greatest president, who saved our nation and in fact saved democracy. So, as an institution, by his position in the Civil War, so. I think we can be real proud of this story, and I'm glad to see it being told more now.
Let's see what Linda has to say. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Jim, and good morning, Mr. Fraker. Mr. Fraker, I just loved your first book so much, and even more than that, I loved the class that I took from you at Ollie. So my question is, are you going to teach another class at Ollie on your new book? Because I think your class was one of my favorite, and I've taken many, many Ollie classes, and I just loved it.
Well, Linda, I think I'll just let you keep talking about me this way, and I won't. I won't answer. I hope so. That the Ollie is a terrific institution. I've been really honored to be part of that, and it's just a top-notch association. And part of the fun of teaching that class is the quality of the students. So I'll give you a payback there for that.
Honestly, if I had teachers like you in college, I know I would have gotten a lot better grades. So,
well, good. I'm glad.
You are such a great teacher. Your teaching style is so interesting, and it just every minute of it is fun to listen to. So I'm hoping that's...
Well, thank you. I'll call the people over at Ollie and tell them get me back by popular request. I won't tell
right.
them
sure
it's one person, Linda. Well, thank you very much.
Hey, Linda, what's one thing you remember about the class or about Abraham Lincoln that just sticks in your mind and won't go away?
Well, I remember some of the things that Mr. said that sounded like he knew him. He told about one of the things that really sticks in my mind is when he told about him being at the house in Danville and about the food that they ate and about this his personal life of being so humble and staying in I don't remember the name of it now, but that you know what I the house in Danville where he was
the McCormick House, yeah.
Yes, the McCormick House. See, I forgot the name of it, but I remember the story. And it was so interesting. And then I also took a bus trip that Mr. Fraker guided us on through the countryside from Urbana to Danville. And I remember all the things that he told us about the markers, the different markers, and where Abraham Lincoln had stopped. And I remember talking about him being in Urbana. It just sounded like Mr. Fraker knew him. It was just so interesting, to the stories from his book. And then I read the book. So
well, he is old, but he's not quite that old.
That's true, and I'm older than him, so I agree. He's not that old, but that's just his style of teaching.
Yeah.
It sounds like he's talking about his friend Abe, and it was so much fun.
Thank you, Linda. Appreciate it.
I do too, Linda. Thanks.
And Greg is next. Greg had called in the first hour, and I suggested he call back a guy because he had some stuff he wanted to talk to you about. Go ahead, Greg.
I watched that American Picker show last night, and they had a guy from Alabama who had bought a $10 box of books and different things at a garage sale, and he got them home, and it was a bunch of John Wilkes Booth family items. They had his Bible. And they had some pictures that I had never seen of John Wilkes Booth's mother. And I just wondered if he had ever heard the story. Sure, a couple months before Lincoln was assassinated, his son Robert was in, I believe, Jersey City, New Jersey, and fell off of a train platform. And John Wilkes Booth's brother, Robert, rescued the young Lincoln from a train that was running him over. Have you ever heard that?
Yes, I think it may have been after the assassination. No, I guess it was before. Well, I'm not sure about that. I think it was after. It was Edwin Booth was the brother, and he was the more famous Shakespearean actor than John Wilkes. And I'm interested to hear Wilkes had a Bible. I never would have guessed. So that's
it was their family Bible. But about 10 years ago, I was in Wyoming on ice, I-80, US 30, and between Laramie and Cheyenne, there's a rest area there, and they've got a big statue of Lincoln, and I was surprised to find out that's the only statue of Lincoln on the Lincoln Highway from New York to California.
I know. That's interesting. I agree. I've seen that statue, and that is amazing. You know, the Lincoln Highway was proposed by Joseph Cunningham, a judge from he didn't propose it, but he supported it, thinking it would come through the 8th Judicial Circuit. And when they located it way up in across northern Illinois is where it crosses Illinois. Lincoln was never on any of those roads. And so it's sort of ironic. But this guy wrote an article called The Real Lincoln Highway, which is the story of the circuit. And as a result of that story being written by Cunningham, who was a judge here in Urbana, the Cunningham home, and there's a Cunningham Street, I think, in Urbana. As a result of his efforts, then they went out. This woman was inspired from Danville to go out and put those markers out on the county lines that we still see, including one between here and Danville. So, yeah,
there's one northwest of Seymour also, but.
Yeah, that's right.
Several years ago, Scott England, who used to be on WAND, he did a series looking for Lincoln, went all over Illinois. And I live in Monticello, and there's a couple of information boards, one by the train station and one down in the Rotary Park.
Yeah, those are great. Lincoln. Those are very well done. I know, I'm familiar with those.
And I talked to Scott England about that thing in Wyoming, and I told him, I said, the next time I'm out there, I'll take a bunch of pictures of it. I sent it to him. He was glad to get those. So.
Yeah, that's great. Well, good for you.
Thank you, Greg. Appreciate you calling back. You had a Bible, huh?
Yeah, how about that?
You know, Guy, I was talking about this book, the fact that you were going to be on the show, and how much fun I had just looking through it and imagining driving these highways. And it reminded me a little bit of the Route 66. People are always saying, okay, let's get on Route 66 and we'll see all this stuff, all this historical stuff and all these little towns and so forth. And this is a kind of a Route 66 thing. You can stay in this area, in this 8th Judicial Circuit, and see a lot of things. You don't have to drive all over the country.
That's a great comment. Yeah, I, of course, have spent a lot of time. I think I've driven it, or parts of it, Lord knows how many times. From start to finish, I've done it three times, including a final time with my fact-checking wife to make sure that I had the directions right. But, yeah, it's 400 or 500 miles. So it's a good, if you wanted to see the various sites that are included, not only the ones that are included, but otherwise, because there's some beautiful scenery out there in central Illinois and some interesting historical sites, some old homes that are gorgeous, then these roads take you to those sites. So it makes a very nice local trip, you're right. And it would take probably a good 3 days for sure. It's 400 or 500 miles. But if you stop to see everything, it might be even 4 to 5 days. But it'd be a great way to spend some time, I think, because of the scenery and the history.
We're visiting with Guy Fraker. If you have any questions or comments for him, call us at 356-9397. Or our text line is 351-5357. I'm looking at the map now and imagining myself here in, let's say, way over in the far eastern corner. Let's start in Danville and come this way. And it goes Champaign down Monticello, up through Clinton, Mount Pulaski, Lincoln, then juts back up to the north to Bloomington Normal, all the way up to Metamora, then coming back down the western side, down through Tazewell County and to Springfield, of course, to Taylorville, winding around back up to Decatur, down to Shelbyville, over to Paris, and then you would go back up to Danville. So that's it's fun to just to look at it. And as you go through this book, that's basically what you're doing.
Yeah,
that's right. That's what the book's about.
That's what the book's about. It's as much, at least as much about the roads as it is the towns in between. That the roads, I consider the towns the pearls and the. The necklace is the road, or is the roads.
And you've got in here a lot of pictures of houses and older buildings, and then you've got these little markers, little Lincoln markers. One's a top hat, and one's looks like a Lincoln running maybe, and that it really helps on trying to. Trying to go on this route and follow this map, and along the way, you're not just seeing big statues or whatever. You're seeing all these markers. Like,
yeah,
this was a historic spot for one reason or another.
No, absolutely.
Let's see what James has to say. Hello, James.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
We're doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing really good. I just thought I'd mention, and if you go through Urbana at Carl Park, there's a statue of Lincoln there.
In the which park?
Carl Park.
Oh, yeah, across from the Urbana High School?
Yep, I used to live right across the street from the high school.
That's where the Lincoln statue is, you're saying, right?
Yep, it's in Carl Park right across from the high school.
Yeah, well, I passed my first test with my book because that statue, there's a picture of that statue in my book, and yeah, I love that statue. It's one of the few, of course, beardless statues. It's called Lincoln the Lawyer, and I mentioned Cunningham before. He funded that, and it originally was downtown, but it got into a lot of controversy over where it should be located, so they put it over in the park, and it's a wonderful statue. I think it's one of the finest, certainly of the pre-presidency statues. There's none better. So thanks for mentioning that.
Let's go to Russell. Hello, Russell.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for taking me the call. I was very curious as to whether or not President Lincoln ever met up with Robert E. Lee, because after Robert E. Lee graduated from West Point, he was actually part of the Army Corps of Engineers, and he supposedly was spearheading the project to map out what is now Route 45 through Illinois. And I was wondering if they ever met while he was president or as a lawyer on his tours.
No, I think not. To my knowledge, not. And I think that's one of those things. I've researched his associations on the circuit to the extent that I think I would know that had they met. So I think not. There are historic figures that Lincoln ran into on the circuit. My favorite connection is, of course, well, we're not surprised that Stephen A. Douglas, who he ran against for the presidency in 1860, was a lawyer that he ran into on the circuit. But he was an attorney for the Illinois Central Railroad, and the chief engineer was George McClellan, who had absolute utter contempt for Lincoln, thought he was a real rube, a coarse person. And the things that McClellan says about him after the war, remembering their time together, they got together down in Clinton because Lincoln tried a lot of cases for Illinois Central Railroad, and his chief witness was McClellan, who was the chief engineer for the Illinois Central. Mm-hmm. And so their relationship, which you'll probably recall, was really rocky when McClellan was commander of the Army of the Potomac. Their relationship was really rocky because of the total contempt that McClellan had for Lincoln. And he treated him a way that you and I would never take it sitting down, and Lincoln did. But, that relationship. So, and McClellan ran for president as a Democrat in 64. So, so both the men that Lincoln ran against for president were people that he'd run into on the Illinois 8th Judicial Circuit, which is a pretty small world.
Well, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you, Russell. Guy Fraker is our guest. We're going to break for the news headlines here with Michael Kaiser, and then we'll come back and talk more with Guy after that. If you have other questions, I love to hear people ask you questions about Lincoln. It's really, really fun. And so just hang with us through the news headlines here, and we'll try not to get so depressed about the news. just about every day. This time we got Michael Flynn pleading guilty for lying to the FBI. So we'll see what happens there. And Michael Kaiser has the news headlines. Back with Guy Fraker after that. Welcome back to Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. My guest is Guy Fraker. And Guy is here talking about Abraham Lincoln. And he knows as much about Abraham Lincoln as anyone I know. So if you have any questions you would like to ask of him, call us at 356-9397, or you can text us at 351-5357. And Robert has this to say. I'll just read it to you and let you respond, Guy. Abraham Lincoln is quoted as saying, "I am not, nor ever have been, in favor of bringing about in any way the social and politically equality of the white and black races, that I am not, nor ever have been, in favor of making voters or jurors of Negroes." He goes on to make other statements that would lead one to believe that he was a racist, yet he went on to issue the Emancipation Proclamation, which only freed black slaves in the Confederate States. Had he changed his attitude, or were his statements just by a comment, a politician who will say anything to get elected?
I would call that a loaded question,
that
but
is,
it's a good one.
That's so many. You've got a lot of accusations there, so
yeah,
to speak.
I'm happy to respond to that.
Okay,
too,
go right ahead, sir.
One answer that is often given by scholars is, well, you got to consider the times. Everybody was racist, and I consider that to be a cop out. In my own way, I don't use that as an excuse for this, because those remarks are quite offensive in our context today. And so, the better thing to do is look at the total picture. And Lincoln made those remarks in the Charleston debate in 1858 when he ran against Stephen A. Douglas. The first excuse for it is that he was pandering to the electorate, because Illinois was more racist than we can imagine. It's something to be ashamed of in our history, the racial attitudes of Illinois, and So the pandering would be, to me, worse. If he didn't believe those things and said them, that was total lack of integrity. If he believed them and said them, at least he was saying what he believed. So you can't argue about his integrity. But what happened from there till his death is what's significant. He, of course, did sign the Emancipation Proclamation. It was limited to those areas that were in rebellion, but you have to remember that there was a real legal issue, a substantial issue as to the legality of emancipation. So he did it as a war measure against the enemy. If he did it for Maryland, which was friendly, or not seceding, if he did it for Kentucky, then there would be constitutional issues raised that would muddy the waters further. But the fact is, he signed that document, and it did send a message. Among other things, it allowed for black troops to, up to that time, they called them colored troops, were not allowed in combat positions. Lincoln and the Emancipation Proclamation included a provision providing for black soldiers whose courage and valor in the war was quite substantial. And because of that, by the time of his assassination, Lincoln always hated slavery. Don't confuse the two issues. Slavery, which is the biggest sin in the history of America. Slavery, Lincoln always abhorred it. So that's one issue. So there's no doubt about that one. But then the racism is a different issue. And over his time as the president, he was converted by the courage of the black troops, is one theory. But his last statements in his last two speeches included a statement that blacks should vote. And so he had come around, he'd come that far, and it is said it is because of the performance of the black troops in the war. And the Michael Burlingame, who in my mind is the preeminent Lincoln scholar, who now is at University of Illinois Springfield and has written the definitive biography, Burlingame believes in this conversion. And Burlingame goes a step further. He characterizes Lincoln as the first victim of the civil rights movement because Booth was in attendance at that speech where Lincoln said, oh, now they should vote. And Booth, the story goes, and this is all from the person he was with, so you judge the credibility if you want to, but that Booth turned to him and said, okay, that does it. I've got to do something about this. And that's what provoked Booth to assassinate Lincoln.
Wow, that is quite a story. All that happened, the parts that we just read here were at a speech in Charleston, you
say? 1858. And to be frank, he said that throughout the campaign. It wasn't just at Charleston.
Okay.
He said it.
But from then on, it was a different story, just as you've explained.
Yeah. And this is typical of Lincoln. He was a non-believer when he was in New Salem. He wrote a book called The Little Book of Infidelity, and somebody in New Salem, one of his friends, said, you want a political career in this state, get rid of that. And he tore the book out of Lincoln's hands and threw it into the fireplace. And Lincoln went from being a non-believer, and they say it was Eddie's death, his son's death in 1850, that he never joined a church, but he became a religious man. And if you read the second inaugural, which is one of the most devout tributes to God ever stated by any president, you'll see that conversion. And so on that subject, he clearly went through, evolved, and so it's very plausible to me and quite believable that the same thing happened on his racial.
Now, the
matters.
Second the inaugural is on the wall at the Lincoln Memorial?
That is correct. And we know it for the phrase, with malice toward none, with charity for all. But the two paragraphs before that, he more or less says, if this war, the question was, why does this war go on and on? And Lincoln struggled with that as a religious man. Why would God let this happen? And he explains or rationalizes it in the second inaugural by saying that if this war goes on, to the bloodshed in this war equals the bloodshed by the bondsman's lash, then, as was said 3,000 years ago and is still true today, the judgments of the Lord are righteous.
Well, I wish we had 4 hours with you.
Thanks, Jim.
Let's take a quick break, Mr. Bond. I see we got a little behind there, but we'll take this commercial break and come back with Guy Fraker. If you have any questions or comments for him, let us know. We're back with Guy Fraker. Guy, I want to make sure we let people know that you're going to be over in Mahomet on, is this Sunday?
Yes, this Sunday at 2 o'clock at the museum of the Grand Prairie.
And you're going to talk about the book then?
Talk about the new book. And as part of the marketing of the book, I put together a slideshow, which is beyond my capacity to do, but I had it done, of 50 images from the book.
And oh, wow.
It's done. It's,
that would be good.
I've done a lot of it. The book's been out for 6 weeks, and it's the
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the book in that light again, because how is this book in the libraries now?
Or I don't know that it is. I don't know how widely distributed. I don't market it, but
Southern Illinois University Press,
who did my first book,
uh-huh.
And it's really a supplement to the first book because of all the pictures in it. And there's pictures, current pictures of the landscape. And they did a beautiful job of laying it out that I had, of course, nothing to do with. So I'm real proud of that little book. It is. You can just pick it up. It has directions, and you just drive the circuit.
That would be fun to do, and as you think about that 400 to 500 miles that he did it on horseback.
Yeah, amazing.
Oh, my goodness.
Amazing.
That makes me feel a little sore in the I was just thinking about that. Let's go to Daryl. Hi, Daryl.
Hey, I've got a question. I've got an original copy of Herndon's book on Lincoln, and... Yeah, I read the story in there about the little book that they said would ruin his career, and he threw it in the fire because,
right.
Well, I understood it. He didn't believe that he didn't believe in the Trinity. He didn't believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, is the way I understood what I read. But also, what about the part in that book that said, and I believe it was David Davis and Herndon and Mary and his wife said that he had, after his death, that he had no hope in the Christian sense of the term.
Yeah, that Herndon's book is controversial for that, and nobody knows. Lincoln was very private about his faith, and so the question of whether he was a Christian in the sense that he believed in the afterlife, there's no answer to that. There's no evidence that he did. There's no evidence that he didn't. Because he was astute enough never to say that things
right.
like that. But,
right.
No, could I sit here and tell you that he was a Christian in the sense that he believed in the afterlife? No, I can't tell you that. But
I just wondered. Yeah.
But here's the point to that. He walked the walk. Maybe he didn't talk the talk of Christianity, but he walked the walk. There's never been a more Christian man in the White House in terms of his lifestyle, in terms of his attitude, his magnanimity toward his enemies, turning the other cheek, all of that. There's never been a more Christian man in the White House than Lincoln. So I think it's sort of an academic thing rather than its impact on him personally.
Well, he had to be like that a bit for all the decisions he made
Absolutely.
With regard to humanity.
Absolutely.
We need to take our final break here, Ed, just a couple of minutes, and we'll come back and have a couple of minutes left. We're back with Guy Fraker, and again, his book is called A Guide to Lincoln's Eighth Judicial Circuit. And an earlier caller mentioned the Looking for Lincoln project, and this kind of ties in with that, doesn't it?
It does. It's part of it. I'm on the board of Looking for Lincoln, which is the action arm of the Abraham Lincoln National Heritage Area that Durbin and La Hood jointly sponsored to create in 2009. And the current leadership, Sarah Watson, whose family is from Champaign-Urbana, Sarah is the chairman, and she's doing a great job of getting the Lincoln story out there, and part of that is a series of books, of which this is the third.
Well, it's a great promotion. I love the tourism of people, and they had the little Lincoln that was appearing in very different places. They got a lot of conversation going about Lincoln.
Well, that's great. That's great.
And young people like that. Well, I mean, a lot of people liked it, but it's not a bad idea to get young people started early on something like that.
No, absolutely. Can I make a comment, by the way, that's
sort of
off the subject?
Well, yeah, we've got about a minute and a half left, and it's all yours if
you'd
like
it. Well, I'd just like to say my friend Steve Beckett, who's an Urbana attorney that I admire greatly, told him I was coming over here today, and he told me that you were retiring at the end of the year. And I just want to tell you, this is a personal observation. First, you've had me on three or four times over the years, and I've never enjoyed an interview more than working with you. So I know what an asset you are to this community, and then just it's sort of my second home. The Frakers are from Champaign, so I've always had a great feeling for this community, and I really appreciate what you've done for Champaign-Urbana.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'm avoiding the word retiring because that sounds like, well, that's the end of the road or something. I'm not actually retiring. I'm just moving on and in another journey of some sort, the details of which I don't even know yet.
You'll figure it out.
I'll figure it out, yeah. It's great to – well, thank you so much. It's very – means a lot coming from someone like you. And the times we've had here together have been great, too. And I certainly appreciate your book. I've had a lot of fun with it already, and you know, one of these spring or summer days, I may just get in the car and start doing it.
I'd do it. Please do. Thanks, Jim.
Nice to talk to you once again here on WDWS in Champaign-Urbana.